Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
.609. How many of you had a mom who was into Tupperware when you were growing up?
Me.
My mom had a Tupperware party or two. We got a guy on this morning who's written a book about the woman that started Tupperware.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool story. Sad story in some ways, but an interesting story. The Tupperware Unsealed Story, Life of the Party. That's later. The parents of the Dallas cop killers, today being the day that President Obama goes to Dallas, the parents of the Dallas cop killer spoke out yesterday, did an interview with The Blaze online, and they said about what you probably would expect them to say. They're devastated. The mother said that he was different when he came home from military service. Father said, neither one of us ever saw it coming. We hate what he did. We're incredibly sorry. I don't know what to say. I get real judgmental about parenting, but I don't know how you can blame these people.
No.
Kid was 25 years old. So we will see what transpires going forward today with President Obama and President Bush both speaking to whoever assembles in Dallas for a memorial service. To be impressed with the police chief there, who spoke again to crowds yesterday, a guy that doesn't like to talk to the public, who's having to do an awful lot of it lately. He said, by the way, for those of you who want to be judgmental about policing here in Dallas, we're hiring. Why don't you join the force? Pretty good answer. At 6:11, Dave Ennett's rejoined us. Dave, I'm glad we were able to get into negotiations and work out whatever our differences were.
I am too. We had no differences, Steve, but I took a few days off.
Oh, you're on vacation.
I was on vacation.
I thought there was a fight.
No fight. Unless maybe it was on your side. I didn't
fight. No, I didn't think so either.
We parted on good terms.
Reunited.
No, had a great time.
And how's your dad?
My dad is doing great, thanks.
And what's he up to now?
Let's see. He was swimming. He was working out. He was, went out to dinner, the whole family, the other night. So
is he the most active 91 now?
He's 92. He'll be 93 in December.
Is he the most active 92-year-old in America? He's got to be in the team picture.
Most active one I know.
He just doesn't stop.
He really doesn't. He keeps moving.
And he has a lady friend.
He does have a lady friend, yes.
Do we like the lady friend?
We do. We do. You met her. She was here last year.
I found
her
to be delightful.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She's wonderful.
All hands, I'll be honest with you, Dave.
Well, there is that.
I'm going to shake you up or anything. She gave me a hug, and man, I don't know what's going on there. Next thing you know, I bought her dinner, and we were dancing.
Really? This was before her 80th birthday party.
Oh, he's robbing the cradle. Look at that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, a guy with that kind of game.
That's it. Yes. Yeah.
What do you say to somebody like your dad? Like, you know, like a day over 85? Because it's a compliment, right?
Right. I'll show you a picture later that we took a family shot, and he looks great.
Yeah. Now, do you find yourself feeling guilty if you're sitting around and he's doing everything?
No. I mean,
does he ever do, will you get off your butt, son, and do something around here?
We went to the gym in his building to work out. I'm working out. He takes his Kindle. And he's doing sit-ups while he's reading his Kindle.
Oh. That's unbelievable.
So that's multitasking.
Oh, I'm lucky I even do a sit-up.
What is he reading now?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't ask him.
Right. But it's got to be pretty cool.
He works at the Smithsonian also.
Well, of course he does.
One day a week.
Yeah, of course he does.
Volunteering.
Get off your tail, Dad. Do something.
Right.
What's he do at the Smithsonian?
He's a docent. He's a volunteer and...
We don't have to
questions.
Curse.
What's it? No.
What, that docent does
like
what?
A volunteer guide, sort of. answers questions.
Says things like, you punk kids, respect this place. This is mm-hmm. American history.
Exactly.
Which part of the Smithsonian is he in?
He's in the American History Museum.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. Yeah. They had just, I think they remodeled it a couple of years ago, and he was relocated to the Air and Space Museum, which is also
great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do the Smithsonian on a Washington trip for a week and barely get to all of it.
No question.
And then have to come back and see everything else.
Absolutely.
So I love D.C.
Oh, I do.
It's a great town. It really is. There's, and it was packed with tourists, as you might imagine.
As someone who grew up there, do you feel like you've seen everything you wanted to see?
Not really, but I didn't see much this weekend. I mean, this was more of a family trip. But we went out. There's a wonderful area just north of D.C., Great Falls,
sure.
which is right along the C&O Canal.
Right.
And so we went up there and did some hiking, and it's the Potomac about 10 miles north of Washington, and it's just beautiful.
When people would come, like, how old are you when you left D.C.?
Well, I left when I went away to college, so I was 18.
Yep. So 17. When people would visit D.C., what was the one place you always had to take them, the White House?
I think more places you had access to, like the Lincoln Memorial,
okay.
the Tidal Basin, the Jefferson Memorial.
I mean, as great as Chicago is, I mean, you know, it's my favorite city. I don't know about you guys. But, you know, is there anything that creates more of an eye roll when people go, oh, I want to go to Navy Pier? Or, you know, I want to walk up and down Michigan Avenue or whatever. And it's not because it's not great. It's just because, you know, well, we live here.
Right.
But in D.C., there's, you know, I would think it'd be cool because there's always new things to check out, or old things to check out that are new to you.
Well, I think you always wanted to drive past the White House because back then you could. Now you can't.
Yeah,
it's all blocked off. But you could walk right up to the gate. You could drive past it. So I think that was probably on the driving itinerary. But I think the Smithsonian, honestly, and the National Zoo
are
right up there on the.
I've never been to the zoo.
Really.
The National
Lincoln
Zoo?
Park Zoo? Oh, the National Zoo.
Yeah, I've been at Lincoln Park Zoo and the Brookfield Zoo.
Okay.
I had a place at the Brookfield Zoo for a while.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I've never been to the National Zoo either.
It's great. But it's very hilly. It's a lot of, I mean, it's
a lot of walking.
It's a tougher zoo.
A lot of ex-congressmen and women in there?
Yes, probably. But it really is. The city looked beautiful and it was great to be there. And most of the politicians were out of town.
And you drove?
Drove. Not bad going out, except leaving here Wednesday morning. We had the storms right around rush hour.
Yeah.
Getting through the city took a while.
Coming, it was good, though, because you got a chance to listen to the show.
I did. I listened to every minute of it.
Yeah.
Coming back Sunday, we left around 5 o'clock Chicago time, Sunday morning. We were zooming along until South Bend. And the Indiana Toll Road came to a dead stop at South Bend and spent about the next 90 minutes going 1 mile.
Construction?
There was a lane closed, and I think it was people coming back from Michigan.
Did you run into a guy making sandwiches at any of the...
I looked for him. Guy with a mayonnaise-covered knife. I never found him.
Okay. You know what I was thinking about that guy? He's basically like a food truck. Well, he's a food trunk because he was basically making the food by his trunk, but... So he wasn't too outlandish.
But he's not technically a food truck if it's his truck and he's just making food for him.
True. Yeah. And blocking the gas pumps.
Oh, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Kian's Cochran show. And what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night. Dear Julio, he knows what shows are good. What's stinking? He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGilio joins us now. Big night tonight. I'll be there for Airplane, the big screen edition. Tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight. Where is it going to be?
Movieco Theater in Rosemont. $10. Parking is free. And we start at 8, but people usually show up around 7, have some dinner at Bogart's there on the second floor of the theater, and then we go into the beautiful Premiere Theater, see it digitally remastered, and I'll do a little talk afterwards, and I'll introduce the movie beforehand. It all gets underway at 8.
Is there any embarrassment for you if, say, around 7:30, I start going, come on, people, let's go, get in the theater. Some people, I got to get up in the morning.
Yeah, it will be embarrassing for me, Steve. Thank you.
All right, just checking. I don't want to do it if it's going to embarrass you. I'm playing hurt, by the way. I think I have a cracked tooth.
A cracked tooth?
Yeah, cracked tooth. You probably thought that was my rap name. But no, I've got a dental issue that I'm getting some emergency service today, this afternoon for. You know, dental emergency later.
You know it's an emergency if you're blowing off golf.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not playing golf today so I can go to the dentist.
How did you crack a tooth?
Well, you know, I'm a crime fighter, as you know, and there was a scuffle. No, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know.
Wow.
Because at this age, I gum most of my food.
Use a straw.
So I don't know. I don't know. But it's not that much fun. I will tell you that. So the top 10 comedies of all time, according to you or according to everyone?
Me.
All right.
They're just my favorites.
Number 10.
Jackass the Movie.
Not on my list. Number 9.
This is Spinal Tap.
Top 5 for me. Number 8.
The one I'm showing tonight, Airplane.
Top 5 for me. Number 7.
Top Secret, which is the same guys who did Airplane, but for some weird reason, I prefer Top Secret.
Is this the Charlie Sheen one?
No. That's why am I blanking on the name of that movie? No, Top Secret is with Val Kilmer. It's the World War II Elvis comedy.
Number 6.
Number 6 is Duck Soup.
Oh, sure. Duck Soup. It's the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Caddyshack.
Great, 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 and great. Number 4?
Stripes.
Probably would have flipped those two. Number 3.
Blazing Saddles.
That's my number 1, minus the bean scene. Number 2.
Animal House.
You know, when I was 16, I was working in a movie theater when Animal House came out. Is that right? Wasn't that 77, 78?
It was 78, yeah.
All right, so I was 17. And I was fired. It's the first time I was fired. You never forget your first time. Because I let the entire football team in free to see it.
Well, you were doing them a service.
Right. And you have a number one comedy of all time. No one else has this other than you. I've checked world over. What's your number one comedy of all time?
My favorite comedy of all time is Used Cars. The funniest movie, still the funniest movie I've ever seen. I can't believe how funny Kurt Russell is in it. Everybody is in it. Robert Zemeckis directed it, who would go on to do Back to the Future and other classics. But just to this day, I every time I watch Used Cars, I laugh loud through the entire movie. I love it.
Now, sometimes it's where you are in life that determines your emotional attachment to a movie. So when did Used Cars come out?
Used Cars came out the same year as Caddyshack and the same year as Airplane. They were all the summer of 1980. So I was 15 years old, so I don't know. You know, I mean, emotionally, I was a child, but
no more so than now.
No, exactly. It's not much different. Yeah. But yeah, no, that was a good summer for 1980. A lot of people, I don't include it, but that summer, 1980, also Blues Brothers was released. A lot of people like that movie. I don't, but a lot of people like that movie.
There are moments in Blues Brothers that are great overall.
Yes.
There are moments in 1941?
1941, yeah.
1941 that are great, but they're scenes. They're not. Lorne Michaels doesn't make great movies. That's all.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, 1941, I'm back. I think 1941 is a pretty great movie. But Blues Brothers, after the 50th car crash, I was like, oh, I get it. You guys are underreacting to the jokes. It's a one-joke movie. It's like big stuff happens, things blow up, and the two guys at the center don't react to it. And that's the joke for the entire movie. Music's great. The music sequences are phenomenal, and the people that are in it are great. And it gave a reboost to many people's careers, including, you know, Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, James Brown. A lot of people, those people were on the outs then. Nobody was listening to that kind of music. And with the Blues Brothers, it brought that back. So that's a good thing.
It is 6:27. Before we let you go, The Secret Life of Pets. Like it?
I did, yes. I thought it was a lot of fun. But, man, did it make money. I mean, it outdid anything that anybody thought it was going to make. It made over $103 million its opening weekend. People were projecting $80 million, and that would have been big, but it went $20 million beyond that, and it is the fourth week in a row that an animated movie has been number one, the 10th week that an animated movie has been number one this year, and that's just the animation is dominating this entire year, not just the summer, the entire year. Animated movies are huge.
I should have Amy Cochran, my daughter, on the show to review the animated movie. She sees every single children's movie, and mostly multiple times, because with her work with kids with autism, you know, she goes to these Saturday morning screenings pretty much every week. So,
have you talked to her about the Pest movie?
Yeah, she said liked it, good, not great.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. I mean, it's entertaining. It's the last 5 minutes are amazing. Like, the last 5 minutes, I don't have a pet currently. So when I came home to my empty apartment, I was very sad. And I imagine that anybody who has pets who sees the movie, after the last 5 minutes of that movie, you immediately want to go home and hug your pet. That's how it makes you feel.
Is this like when you walked out of Rocky and you wanted to punch somebody? In this case, you want to get a pet?
You want to get a pet and hug it at the end of the movie. It really is. I got all welled up at the end of the movie. It's a really beautiful. Last 5 minutes of that movie is some of the most entertaining 5 minutes in a movie that I've seen all year.
By the way, if you go to The Secret Life of Pets and you don't see Steve Dale, be surprised. I'm guessing he goes to every showing.
I think he's at every, I think he's at every showing in every city all day.
All theaters. See you tonight.
All right, buddy.
All right, there you go. That's Nick DiGilio, and the movie is Airplane tonight at Movieco in Rosemont.
I need to binge watch all of these animated movies, because the last animated movie I saw, I think, was Toy Story 1.
You didn't have any appreciation for the fact that I didn't throw you under the bus with Nick?
I noticed. I thank you for that. You know how I love you. You know I would if I could.
What do you mean if you could? You're making active choice not to go to the movie tonight.
I can't, Steve. I have a commitment today and a commitment tonight.
Your commitment tonight is optional. You've optioned yourself to a different commitment.
Well, it's closer to my house.
Yeah, well, you know what?
It's 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, well, the double wide in East St. Louis isn't that close to Rosemont.
I love you. Love your show.
Dave, you have something going on, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
He has the same thing I do in the day.
Dave got jumpy there. He thought I was going to yell at him. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
This is our weekly dive into being disappointed in our own families and children. As we highlight a kid of the week. Brought to us by you, the listeners of the Steve Cochran Show, now in its 689th edition of this current run. All right, so here's the deal. Kid of the Week, we do it every week, and you could be a part of this. Just tell us about a great kid between 5 and 18 doing something special. Could be special to them, could be special to the community, could be special to the world. End of the year, Dave Ennett and Mary Vandeveld have volunteered again to pick the Kid of the Year because they want that burden.
It's a heavy burden.
We take all the Kid of the Week honorees over the course of the year, and then Dave and Mary lock themselves in the room, and they punch each other out emotionally until they figure this out, and then when smoke rises from the chimney, we know we have a new Kid of the Week, Kid of the Year.
It's like a war room.
It is a responsibility we do not take lightly.
No. Now, where's the smoke come from?
I can't say.
Okay, all right.
Do you burn leaves?
That's it, of course, in December for Kid of the Year. The 2016 Kid of the Year will be awarded a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. And if you want to send us Kid of the Week, it's wgnradio.com/contest to submit your entry. Let's meet today's Kid of the Week. It's Kira. Good morning, Kira.
Hi.
How old are you?
I'm 12 years old and turning 13 this October.
When is your birthday? I want to write it down.
October 30th.
All right. Now, there's not a good chance you and I are going to be, you know, talking to each other on that day. So let's just start by giving you something for your birthday now. Are you a Blackhawks fan?
Yeah.
Big Blackhawks fan?
Sort of.
I don't know. You got to be a big Blackhawks fan for this. I mean, do you really love the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your favorite player?
Not sure.
You like Jonathan Taves? Everybody likes Taves.
Sure.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one sister.
Older or younger?
Younger.
She take your stuff?
Sometimes.
Yeah, but you're still the good big sister. How old is she?
She's 10.
Oh, 10. Oh, man, you guys are just getting into it. try not to kill her between now and 18, okay?
Got it.
Okay. All right, so here's what I'm going to do for your family. I'm going to give you tickets to go to the Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel this weekend.
Cool.
You can't buy these. I don't care how much money you're making, Kira, at the age of 12. You can't buy these. I don't care how big your allowance is. You can't buy these, but I'm giving them to you.
Thanks.
That's your early birthday present.
Ooh.
Now, if I hear you've screwed this up between now and October, I'll have to come back and you'll have to send me something from your house.
All right.
All right, here we go. The cool thing about being a kid is sometimes you have a clear-eyed vision of the world that the rest of us don't, because we're all wrapped up in how busy we are. Oh, and how important we are, and all the other things we're doing. So Kira founded a non-for-profit organization called Kids Play. What does Kids Play do?
So when people donate to us, we give that money out to kids in the form of scholarships so that they could play sports and do different activities.
And these are kids from non-privileged backgrounds, right, that might not otherwise have access?
Yeah, like, so they have to fill out a application so that we know that they aren't just a normal family trying to get this, but they are actually a non-privileged family.
Well, this is a great idea. Where did it come from?
I was actually just sitting in the car and thinking about what I wanted to do that summer, and it kind of occurred to me.
And I understand you're an athlete?
Yes.
You play basketball?
Yes.
You're a Girl Scout as well, play piano, you're riding horses, you're a very active kid. And because you're an active kid, you want all kids to be active.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids Play, KIDZPLAY, Kids Play. And these scholarships help kids get involved in extracurricular activities. A lot of people forget these extracurricular activities have fees. And these fees can be pretty tough. So this help pays for that, and it'll pay for other things.
Equipment, things of that sort.
Yeah. Did you do your own legal work on this foundation?
Yeah, we had to file a lot of paperwork and stuff in order to get it legally of charity.
Yeah, sure. And does it make you want to put off being an adult as long as possible when you see all the paperwork that's involved?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I hope to work with NASA on their astronaut program.
See, this is why, Kira, when we have great kids like you on, we look at our own kids and go, seriously? It must have been me. But we're very proud of you, and Kids Play is a great idea. Again, this is another one of these ideas that I never would have thought of. But you scholarship families who can't necessarily afford the extracurricular activities that their kids want to be involved in and otherwise couldn't be involved in. So how do people find out more about it?
They could go to our website, which is www.helpkidswithaz.org.
Help Kids Play, KIDZ. Helpkidsplay.org. Great job by you for being our Kid of the Week, along with that birthday present I gave you, the Chicago Blackhawks convention passes. We're also going to give you an app gift card. You can go to Apt and Glenview or online at apt.com, maybe get some new headphones. So that's cool. We'll give you a MyPillow because you should sleep occasionally. And MyPillow is the best pillow you're ever going to have. And do we have any more pizza? Let's give her some pizza. Let's find some pizza from Lou Malnati's. 1-800-LOU-TO-GO or loutogo.com or loumalnati's.com. I'll get you to Lou Malnati's. And all of our winners get a ChevyDriveChicago.com and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. You're an impressive young lady. Thanks for being you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Ray and Raymond Chevrolet for their sponsorship of Kid of the Week. It's 7:53, so we had a Pokemon Go incident at Susan Burke, 6:53, at Susan Burke's house. Your kids are playing Pokemon Go?
It was my 13-year-old son, and first he said he was at McDonald's, then he was at a park, and then it just hit me out of the blue. I'm like, he's doing it. He and his friends are running around doing this Pokemon thing. And so I asked him, and he said, yes, we are, but we're being safe.
That's the typical guilty kid response, isn't it?
I think
Mom, that's what we're doing, but we're totally safe.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I guess the upshot to that story is, again, kids are getting out of the house in the summertime and they're actually outside breathing air and running around a little bit.
Exactly. It took an app to get to get the kids back outside.
Well, it's not a terrible thing, that part of it. Nintendo's valuation went up $9 billion or something crazy like that over the last 24 to 48 hours. Sandberg's here. Are we having on somebody from CNET or somebody? Who are you tracking down for this?
Roger Cheng
Cheng from CNET, the executive editor. Now, is he actually doing Pokemon Go while he's talking to me?
He's doing it, and he's written extensively about, what is this called, alternative...
Augmented reality?
Augmented reality, yeah.
Speaking of augmented reality, yesterday we had the tragic story of Mary on the Couch. Now, some of you may remember the children's book, Mary on the Couch. This is different than that. Dave, you were out. But Mary had family in this weekend, and you know the one thing family does when they visit, they ruin it.
Physically and everything.
Well, I was visiting family this weekend.
And what conversation do you think your dad's having with his lady friend now?
No.
So Mary and Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, have a beautiful, it's a white couch. I wouldn't know. You never invite me to your house. Have a beautiful white couch.
It is a white couch.
Yes. And what is the fabric?
It's like a little bit burlap-ish type.
Okay. And you're
a Walter E. Smith.
Your adorable 3-year-old niece.
Yeah.
Was visiting,
mm-hmm,
and went full graffiti on the couch.
Yes, with a ballpoint pen.
All right. So what happens? You hired Stinky's service to come. What was the name of the service?
Stanley Steamer.
Stanley Steamer.
I hired them Friday. The kid wrote on the couch, and I made the appointment for Monday right away.
Okay. So Stanley Steamer comes over yesterday. Now, we got great tips from the listeners.
Well,
yesterday.
And prior to them coming, we had tried vinegar on Friday. It was unsuccessful because we read that online. And then a listener yesterday said to get some stuff called Goof Off.
Yeah, Goof Off.
And so,
fixing mistakes since whatever.
Yeah.
But wait, back up to the vinegar. I don't understand the vinegar thing, because doesn't that create an odor you can't get rid of?
No, it really didn't. It was a mixture of vinegar, water. It wasn't just
diluted vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right, so you get the Goof Off.
Pat goes to, he goes to Lowe's, and there was like 500 different choices of Goof Off, and he's sending me pictures on the shelf, you know.
Was it concerning at all to you that Pat, who knows nothing about fixing anything, was trying to fix something?
That did cross my mind. And so, but this was desperate. So he, you know what? He is a good stain person. If you,
he's a good stain guy.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I love him.
Right. They have dirty knees or something on a baseball uniform.
Yeah.
He can get those stains out. I don't know why he has that skill, but he's really good at
it. It's a gift from God. All right.
He got some Goof Off.
Yeah.
And he tested it in an inconspicuous spot on the couch that we wouldn't see to see if it was going to eat away the fabric or something like that, because it does say only use on hard surfaces, and it came out. So he worked on that stain, and he got the ink out with the Goof Off.
So did you cancel Stanley?
No, because I still needed Stanley to come and get the water stain out, and the Goof Off leaves like a wet stain, but like a permanent wet stain.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So
sometimes the fix is worse.
Right.
All right. So Stanley shows up, and what happens?
Pat's telling him what he used, and of course they don't want any liability, so they're all, I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything about this, you know, because he put some chemical on the couch and whatever. And I did point out that their water based cleaner didn't do anything. And then Pat said, well, what would you suggest doing in the future if there's ink on the couch? And he goes, well, I suggest you don't get any ink on the couch.
Come on.
No. So I was like, ooh, that's, you know, I'm like, want to whack the guy just because.
Yeah, it's kind of rude.
Did you kick him out?
Yeah, a little bit of a schmo. No, because I wanted him to do the couch.
By the way, for anybody listening that works at Stanley Steamer, I'm sure you're wonderful people, but that kind of jackass comment isn't helpful at all.
Yeah, and he kind of looked like that, like Jeff Bridges. I felt like an actor came in and was just giving
me a hard time. Was pretending he worked for Stanley Steamer?
Jeff Bridges with the long hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Stanley Steamer guy, did he actually do anything to the couch?
He did. They got the water stain out. But even after that, they tell you, no, the water stain might come back when it dries. So it's like this whole stressful.
Well, so can you wait in the car then?
I know.
Let's just see if he can wait in the car. Let's see what happens.
But the stain is out, and so I had, and I feel a little bit guilty about this, but, you know, you get the $99 receipt because it's $99. It's $66 but then $30 to have it like seal coated or whatever.
And then $3 for the smart ass response.
But if you don't get it seal coated, you still have to pay $30 because it's a $99 minimum anyway. So you might as well get it coated. But anyway, I had Pat forward that to his brother.
Oh, good.
Well,
yes.
But I don't understand why you feel guilty. I mean, well, you need to watch your kid.
I mean, I know.
I'll pay it. You want me to pay it? I'll pay it.
Thank you. Yeah, since you offered to buy me a couch yesterday.
Yeah, I'll just give you $99 and you can not bill the...
bill the brother. Yeah. I know. I felt a little bit bad.
But. I would take the couch.
Now, the most important part of this for family unity's sake is the next time the adorable three-year-old comes over, what would she be restricted to the garage?
Yes. And Pat told our kids last night, both of them, as we were watching TV, neither of you are to ever sit on that couch. So they've been banned from the white couch. And they didn't even do anything. So.
Do you guys have an in-house therapist already? I mean, you just can have somebody just sit there and go, kids, it's your turn. Come over and lay on this part of the couch.
Next time they come over, just do what our parents did. They put plastic on the couch.
Yeah, yeah. He suggested tarping it. So we're...
Right, but your couch is okay.
Yes, and I feel so much better. And the listeners were very helpful, so thank you.
Well, I certainly hope the parents felt guilty. I wouldn't want the three-year-old to feel guilty because the three-year-old's three.
I wouldn't mind if she had a little guilt.
Well, it's a teaching moment. It's a teaching moment for the three-year-old.
That's how you learn not to do it again.
Yeah. And what are you recommending? Stanley Steamer? No, I didn't.
She wants a new couch.
Yeah. No, not now. Couch is perfect.
Between you and the brother-in-law, she's getting a new couch.
Couch is perfect.
Personally. Oh, Steve and them can split it.
See?
Personally, I'm kind of surprised that Walter E. Smith, based on the fact that this is the fifth time they've been mentioned in the last 24 hours, hasn't delivered full sets of furniture to your house.
Yeah. Oh, I got a pen on my couch, too.
It was Smith-coated originally, but that wears off.
I don't even know what that means. I know a couple of the brothers. They shouldn't Smith-coat. It's Mattress Firm Sleep Happy Summer Sale. Get cool summer savings of up to $300 on the best brands like Sealy, Serta, Beautyrest, and more. And get your choice, Sealy Firm or Hampton and Rhodes Pillow Top Queen Sets for just $299. It's your best night's sleep from Tempur-Pedic, and it's available only at Mattress Firm. You know, if Abigail Grace ever does anything like that, you know what I'm going to do.
You're going to say, that's okay.
Yeah, of course I am. Right. I'm just going to go, that's fine. It's just, it's a couch. Yeah, it's totally fine.
All the other grandkids should just retire.
And then if anybody else gets mad about the couch incident, I'll get mad at them for getting mad.
You'll say you got a problem with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my job is to make sure the child is completely spoiled.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Now let's go to a little town in New Jersey where things are really popping. Yes, there's a party going on at Mrs. Betty Martin's house. It's a Tupperware party, and it's really fun. The girls get together and meet their old friends and make some new ones. Then there's a demonstration by one of the Tupperware dealers who lives in your community. Watch her show the way to use Tupperware's patented seal. See? You put the seal on tight, then press down the center and lift the seal a bit at one side.
Commercial from the year I was born, 1961. And you push down the top and you open up just the corner and you let a little air out. Tupperware.
Remember they used to say men can use it too, and you act like it's a baseball diamond. You start at home plate, and then you go to first, and then second, and then third.
I remember my mom having Tupperware parties.
My mom did too.
And she had these Tupperware popsicle makers, which were way cool. Because I'll tell you right now, I love a popsicle. The book is called Life of the Party, the remarkable story of how Brownie Wise built and lost a Tupperware party empire. I don't know how this isn't a movie, but it's the second edition of the book, Bob Keeling. Is that right?
Hi, Steve. Yes, it sure is. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on. It's an amazing story. How did you come by it?
Well, what I do down here in Central Florida is I try to find stories here in Greater Orlando that predate Walt Disney. And I saw this PBS special about her, and I think it was 2003 or 4. And I'm like, okay, how is a certified history geek like myself never heard of Brownie Wise? And that's what sort of got me on the trail of this story. And I think after you read the book, you will never look at a piece of Tupperware the same way again.
So here's a woman who changes a major facet of everyday life in America. And you would think she ended up rich and famous and giggled her way through the rest of her life. Well, not so much. We'll come back and tell you how. The book's called Life of the Party. Bob Keeling is the author. You can get Life of the Party everywhere. And you know what I like to say? Get three copies. Two, because you might lose one. Put the third in a Tupperware container. You know, it's time now to return to the words of Bob Keeling. Life of the Party, the remarkable story of how Brownie Wise built and lost a Tupperware party empire. There have been many stories, Bob. in life of people who come up with great ideas and a corporation takes them. Is this one of them?
I think so, to a degree. I mean, Earl Tupper was the genius who came up with the product, and he patterned it after a paint can lid. You kind of see that when you look at it. But she was the one who came up with this whole notion of the home party. And I love that little part you played there at the beginning, because it seemed like everything from the 50s had that kind of syrupy background.
Oh, yeah, sure. You
know? But she was the one who came up with that idea, and that's what got Tupperware really off to these great heights and making millions of dollars, was this whole feminized selling approach that was revolutionary in the 50s.
Was this pre-pyramid scheme? And I don't mean to use the word scheme, but that whole sales tool?
I think this really started it out. Stanley was using some of the home party, but it wasn't the same sort of product. And I think that was the appeal here, was the product really worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember back in the day, plastics were seen as cheap and brittle and all of that. This worked. I mean, this really did save you money. So they were able to go in, do the whole party. But at the end of the day, women could use these products and save money in their households.
So at what point does Brownie Wise turn the company into this mega success, and how does she get it taken away from her?
Well, she was pushed forward by Tupper and some of the other top brass to be the face of the company.
Right,
they
right.
signed off on it. She's the first woman on the cover of Business Week in 1954. But as things progressed, people started to get a little bit jealous, and it's interesting how there's so much intrigue behind this story. There was an attempted overthrow on her, and there were hidden microphones used and cover-ups and all sorts of intrigue behind the scenes. And that's when the relationship between Tupper and Wise started to erode. And finally, he decided he was going to sell out in 1958 and thought, you know, it's probably not the best idea to have this outspoken woman at the helm of this company. So he unceremoniously fires her. 6 months later, he sells the company for $16 million.
And she gets nothing.
She walked away with a pittance, and she had to sue for it. She got about $30,000.
What happened to the rest of her life?
She did dabble in business consulting. She started a couple of other ventures. You know, she dabbled in real estate down here in Central Florida. She actually became a very accomplished artist. So she was in no way a recluse or bitter, but she certainly never had the kind of success that she had with Tupperware. And she was never even really recognized for it in her lifetime either, which is really tragic. She died in 1992.
Did she push back when the jealousy started and those who she thought were friends and supporters turned out not to be?
Big time. And that was the best part about going to the Smithsonian and being able to get the memos directly between Tupper and Wise. And you see these two titanic personalities just battling it out towards the end of 1957 when everything sort of came apart. And that was the best part, to have, you know, the actual words of these two and see how it all fell apart. So their own words are in the book, and I think that's what makes it so much more interesting.
Bob, not only did she revolutionize the home party, but I think she could also argue she introduced patterns and colors and things of that sort, basically how we interior decorate today and accessorize. So why was it so difficult for the business world at that time to have such a strong female voice?
I think it was just the time. I think the men resented her. This is the 1950s, and we're talking about the Deep South here. This is not the most forward-thinking area back then. And I think there was a great deal of resentment. And she also became very enamored with her own celebrity. And towards the end, these articles would be written in these magazines, and they'd be like, well, Earl Tupper is, you know, marginally the president, but this is all about Brownie, Brownie, Brownie. And he was fine with her being the face of the company as long as she was putting his baby out there in front. But when he perceived that it was all about her, well, he wasn't going to have that.
As is the story in any great story, there's two sides here. But when you hear what happened to Brownie Wise and you juxtapose it against opportunities today, well, it just makes for a very interesting read. Life of the Party. This is another one where I just don't know how this isn't a movie. Life of the Party, the remarkable story of Brownie Wise, who built and lost the Tupperware Party empire. Bob Keeling. Nice work by you, Bob. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Steve.
720 plus a skosh. Back with Pokemon Go next from CNET. They're going to explain the whole thing on 720 WGN. remember when Ross was a little kid, you know, he was into the Pokemon. But now you got yourself an app, and you can get up and go. Pokemon Go. Roger Cheng from CNET's on the phone, and Roger's going to try to explain this phenomena, which seems like it came out of nowhere, Roger. I mean, it seems like it blew up this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the game launched last week. I mean, it's been less than a week old, and it's already got more users than Tinder, and it's closing on Twitter. So it's become a cultural phenomenon just out of nowhere.
Is this a lightning strike? Will this be here and gone in a month?
So that's a big question. I think Pokemon Go, to its credit, has a genuinely unique experience, mobile experience. It has you going outside and finding Pokestops and searching for virtual Pokemon. But I think that's a really good question. The game has suffered from server issues, glitches. It's not the best experience. So I'm not sure what the longevity of this game is, especially if they can't get the game to actually work correctly.
What do you mean work correctly? Has it been malfunctioning?
Yeah, there have been tons of server issues. The developer, Niantic and Nintendo, have struggled to keep up with demand. So many people have downloaded this game or are using it that, you know, that they've constantly had server issues. The game keeps crashing.
The company had no idea it would be this big, did they?
No, they had no idea.
And, you know, when I think about my kids' generation, millennials, essentially. Millennials for, you know, the Pokemon experience for millennials. But, you know, Wendy Snyder's in here yesterday playing this.
Yeah, she was.
Aaron McElroy was just on Channel 9 doing traffic, playing it from the helicopter. So, you know, this has been taken over by, you know, alleged grown-ups as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is something that's not just for millennials. I mean, beyond to that nostalgic wave, like I said, this is a genuinely unique experience, and I think the momentum of it, the fact that it's become a cultural phenomenon has gotten people curious about this game, figuring out what is the big deal with Pokemon Go and giving it a shot.
You have to give Pokemon, the creators of Pokemon, credit for basically reinventing its brand.
Well, this has become the biggest thing for Nintendo since the original development of their game, I believe, because it was $9 billion in new valuation.
Yeah, it's Wall Street obviously is extremely pleased with how Pokemon Go is done, and this is the most relevant that Nintendo has been in years. Right, the last couple of consoles haven't been that great. Wii U sales have been disappointing. And, you know, it's funny because Nintendo sort of resisted being in smartphones for a long time. And, you know, they finally get into it and they've got this huge hit.
Why do you think this works at a level others haven't?
Again, I think it's a genuinely unique experience. It gets people to go outside and it really does sort of turn you into a Pokemon trainer, a real life Pokemon trainer going around town hunting for Pokemon. It's unique. It has this sort of community aspect because you run into other people playing the same game. In fact, I was near my train station and I saw two guys hunting for Pokemon. You hear all these stories about people bonding over it. It's become, you know, beyond just a fun game. It's become sort of a cultural thing.
There was a news story this morning that they're going to now have Pokemon Go meeting sites, you know, for singles. where you can go and collect the tokens or get the prizes, and then
isn't that what Starbucks is for?
Pokemon and chill.
Yeah, Pokemon and chill.
Well, in Brooklyn, I think someone is organizing a Pokemon Go crawl. So, you know, grab a drink and catch a Pokemon at each bar stop. So,
all right, for people who are driving around going, "What the hell are you two talking about?" This is an app you download on your phone. And on the app, is it completely random, or is there some skill involved?
It's a little bit of randomness. There are designated stops that you can go to. They're usually landmarks, local landmarks, whether they're stores or like statues, where you can pick up power ups. But then, randomly, as you're walking around, Pokemon will appear, and you're supposed to catch them. And down the line, you're supposed to train these Pokemon to go and fight other Pokemon at designated gyms, which are other landmarks. So
there are a series of injuries that are being suffered by people, including there was, and we were joking about this, there was somebody that was hit by a car in a crosswalk playing this game. There are people that haven't put the game down since they downloaded it last week, who obviously carpal tunnel kicking in at some point. There was even somebody that discovered a dead body in a river. I think it was in Missouri, because where this Pokemon led them actually just happened to be near it, and they looked around a little bit. They actually looked up from the screen, and, oh, yeah, there's a dead body.
Yeah, it was a little kid.
Is that what it was?
Found the body, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had the armed robber story and on. But it's a little nutty. So while we go crazy for this, it does seem to me to be a combination of unbelievable timing, but very smart of Nintendo to release this in the summer, right? Because you do this in the winter, people aren't going to go outside.
Yeah, and there are tons of kids on their summer break, so they have time to go out and go on Pokewalks.
Pokewalks?
Pokewalks.
That's what they're calling them.
It's great.
I know Roger's giggling every time he uses this. Roger, have you said a sentence since last week that didn't have Pokey in it?
It's been hard, but I have. Fortunately, we have Amazon Prime Day to kind of keep us distracted. All those deals there. So it's not all just Pokemon.
Pokey dokey, yeah, Roger.
All right, no.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you and Roger both leave the room? Roger, thank you very much. We love you guys at CNET. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. That's Roger Cheng from CNET, CNET News Executive Editor on Pokemon Augmented Reality. Dave, when you were out, I actually came up with something you may be more interested in. It's an app I'm developing.
Yeah.
And it's Middle Age Man Stay, as opposed to Pokemon Go.
As opposed to Go.
Right, where you find a comfortable chair, and then it's an app, and on the app, you just say what you need people to bring you.
Sounds great.
And there is a cool left alone button, and if you hit left alone, you can take a nap without any noise around you. Yes.
Is there anything on this app that would enable you also to change channels?
Yeah, well, there's a remote finder. Finder if you can't find your remote. Yeah. I've thought of everything. It's 7:32, and we're back with your big story after this, and then Alex Stone in Dallas for all that's going on there today on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
This is the best department in the country, and I'm proud to be associated with the men and women of the Dallas Police Department. And this tragic incident will not discourage us from continuing the pace of urgency in changing and reforming policing in America.
7:42, that's Dallas Police Chief, Chief Brown, who, by the way, brought up this weekend a couple of ways you can help those families of the cops that were killed. Why would this be important at a time like this? Well, if you're so inclined, the amount of money they may receive from insurance and whatever other payments Texas sets up legally for an officer killed in the line of duty don't happen overnight. In the meantime, these people still have rent to pay and mortgages to pay and bills to pay and groceries to get and now horrifically funerals to pay for. So there's two organizations that have been set up to help those Dallas cops families, DallasFoundation.org and ATODallas.org/donate. Again, that's ATODallas.org/donate and DallasFoundation.org. We're standing by for Alex Stone from Dallas in just a moment. Alex Stone reporting for ABC News. Later today, the president will appear in Dallas, and he will be amongst the speakers, as will former President Bush, to talk about the state of affairs in this country, but also talk about the state of affairs in Dallas. Is Alex, what are we going, line 9? Is that right? Is that where he is? Line 9. Good morning to our friend Alex Stone from ABC News.
Hey, Steve. How you doing? Good morning.
Doing fine. Tough gig, and my best to everybody in Dallas. I have friends there. I'm sure you do as well. And, you know, the irony is thick, obviously, for this to happen there. But lay the scene out for us on what's going to happen later today.
Yeah, inside this Symphony Hall here, the president is going to speak at about the midday, right around then. But just before he speaks, former President George W. Bush is going to speak. So somewhat unique to have the former president speaking shortly before the president speaks. Between them, Chief Brown, the police chief here, is going to introduce the president. But we're also going to hear from the mayor and a number of choral performances as well. But this is going to be an emotional memorial that they are remembering. The five fallen police officers, police from around the country, are coming to be here today. And police from Texas, from pretty far away in Texas, are busing in to be here as well. So a bigger group from Texas, but representatives from police departments elsewhere who have decided they want to be here to represent the men and women in blue. But it's likely going to go on for several hours. And then the president will sit down and meet privately with the families of the fallen officers and with the survivors who less than a week ago were out running bullets in these streets. The crime scene, Steve, is only a couple of blocks down, and it's still shut down. They are still investigating, and the president comes in here today.
Do they expect protests during the service, or will it be a respectful thing with a perimeter for that sort of deal?
You know, there are barricades that are up here right now, but no sign of protesters actually showing up. And if they do show up, they may be from elsewhere, because this community doesn't really seem to have the appetite for it right now. There was an attempted protest on Sunday, a Black Lives Matter protest, and another one that was a bit more against the cops in general. Very few people showed up. Those who took part in the protest last Thursday night say that they are now holding hands with the police. They say, yes, we still have our issues over the shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota. They say they didn't want anybody to get shot on Thursday night. They don't want to see police officers dying. They just want to see change. And they say right now they are in solidarity with the police department here because the police, they have lost so many of their members. So it feels like that this community is still very much in the coming together, and there really isn't that appetite for protests right now.
Alex, there was some poignant video over the weekend, and I think probably still yesterday and today we'll see that again. They set up two memorials. There were two squad cars, and people are coming and putting flowers and makeshift memorial, basically, and people coming to line up to hug the police officers of Dallas. It was really moving video.
It's been incredible, and it's something we have seen since Friday. Those two patrol cars, they started as empty cars that were just parked outside the Dallas Police Department, and now you can't even recognize them because they are so covered in flowers and balloons and cards and mementos. We have seen nonstop since Friday people coming up and at times in lines to hug police officers who are around the headquarters building. Yesterday, about 100 recruits who are about to graduate from the police academy here, they came, many of them crying, to look at that memorial. And I was talking to one, and he said, this just makes us stronger. He says, sure, it scares us. But he says, we're going to go out there and fight the fight now, and it just makes us want to go out there that much more to fight the bad guys. But most emotional at the memorial site has been the children showing up. There was a child, 7 years old, who showed up on Saturday, I guess it was, and he has a second cousin who is a police officer here in Dallas. He was sobbing looking at that memorial, and there was a police chaplain who got down and bent down and talked to him, and she said, look, your mommy and daddy, adults, we can't make this go away, but we're going to try to make you feel safe. And he just sobbed. And then a few minutes later, three police officers who dress up as the Avengers came, and he got to meet them, and we saw a smile on his face that they were coming to try to console the children who were there. But family after family, they have been bringing their kids, many of them emotional. Real quickly, there was also a five-year-old that his mom brought him. The five-year-old doesn't know any police officers personally, but he sat there crying, looking at the memorial as his mom read off the names and the stories off of her phone of the five police officers who died. And they were both, she and her son, were quite emotional.
Yeah, you don't want to lose the opportunity as a parent, and Alex, you're a parent as well, to talk to your kids. And don't assume your kids are too little to understand, because it's a very important thing. It's a very important time to discuss it. I'll let you go on this. Is there a chance that the rift in the police relationship with the minority community in Dallas, maybe the legacy of this could be some healing over it, or am I wishful thinking there?
You know, there's definitely a hope in this community that that's going to happen. And even though Dallas police, this is a police department that other departments come to train with because they are so known for their community policing, the number of police shootings in this community for the size of this city are way below other cities. But still, there is that divide. And we're really seeing it now as you hear from the black community talking about the fearfulness. Even a doctor yesterday, named Dr. Brian Williams, at Parkland Medical Center here, he said that he had to operate, and he's quite distraught over it, but had to operate on the police officers who died. And he said, here I am. I grew up a black child fearing the police. He says, I still fear the police, and I had white officers who I was trying to save on my table. He said, it's a strange dichotomy for me. There definitely is still that divide in this community and in communities across the country between the black community and the police department. And there are a lot of folks who would like to try to bridge that divide now based on what happened last Thursday.
Alex Stone, great work as always. ABC News in Dallas. Thank you, sir. This Pokemon Go thing, I mean, it's beyond nuts. Nobody ever brought back one of our kid, the toys from the 70s for like a restart. There was anything close to this kind of excitement.
No, not even the remakes of the movies like the Ninja Turtles and the things like that that they try and remake. But this has just got a life of its own.
You don't think Rock'em Sock'em Robots would have this kind of pull?
I got that for Christmas last year.
Did you really?
No way.
Yeah, my brother-in-law liked it so much I gave it to him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And, it took like 30 seconds to put together, and then he just beat the crap out of each other until the head pops off.
That's the way it works.
That's fun.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Here's some of the Pokemon Go stories. We told you about the teenager. It was actually a teenager that discovered that dead body.
Oh, geez.
19-year-old Shyla Wiggins was trying to find a water Pokemon in a location that sounded like a perfect place for it. It was Riverton, Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and a body was there. People have used the Pokemon Go social component to plan robberies, including an abandoned, not necessarily abandoned, but one of these strip malls only has like two or three stores left in it.
Yeah.
In O'Fallon, Missouri. And that's where a bunch of people had gathered, and the robbers showed up and said, give me your stuff.
That's unbelievable.
So the thing there is they lost their phone they were playing Pokemon Go on.
Right?
Yeah. One Pokemon Go stop took someone to a cemetery where they found a relative they didn't know had died. I don't even know how that happens.
No.
I don't know how that happens. An ex-U.S. Marine currently fighting ISIS outside of Mosul shared a screenshot of his Pokemon next to a really big gun and challenged ISIS to a Pokemon battle.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Did they accept it?
No word yet on ISIS' response.
Okay.
The game, it was said a few moments ago by the CNET, the correspondent, is bigger than Tinder and approaching Twitter numbers.
Oh, my gosh.
The stock for Nintendo has gone through the roof.
You know what's bad, though? Now people are at work posting, hey, here's the bat. Not that Wendy was doing this yesterday, but because we were doing it as part of the show. But people
Wendy was absolutely not paying attention to the show.
No, but they're posting screenshots of, oh, hey, here's me at my desk, capturing a coin or whatever the prize would be. And employers are saying, wait a minute, why are you showing your feet up at your desk with capturing a bat?
Well, as long as they're not pilots or surgeons, it's probably okay. I don't think you want your Uber driver playing Pokemon Go. I mean, these are things that could be a problem. Text question. Here's a text question. Pokemon. Blow it out your Pokemonster butt. What's the greatest toy of all time?
Oh, there's so many.
Greatest toy of all time. Now, this is very personal, obviously, because it can refer to your youth, but the greatest toy of all time. Favorite toy of all time.
Sit and spin. Remember those?
No, but it was an insult I was given a few times. Why don't you sit and spin? Pokemon Go got one dude a date on Reddit. I caught a few Pidgeys and one Eevee. Nothing special. I was about to start walking back home, and some girl asked, hey, are you playing Pokemon Go? And we hooked up.
See, this is going to be the new hookup.
Let me tell you something. If the hookup, if your game is the line, I caught a few Pidgeys and an Eevee, and a female responds to it, I'm thrilled that the two of you found each other. Instead of finding a Pokemon, one Pokemon Go player found a Pokemoo, found an actual cow wandering, gotten off a farm.
Saved the cow's life. That's a good thing, see? Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, so Pokemon Go is saving lives.
And, of course, we mentioned the exercise component where you got people to just sit around who are actually getting up and doing something.
Yeah.
Jonathan Thoreau was with his wife, Jessica, in the hospital. She was waiting for a C-section. And suddenly, while he was waiting, he noticed on his phone the Pidgey appeared next to her bed. Pidgey's one of the Pokemonsters.
Okay.
He had to catch it, and he had to upload the photo, and it had to go viral. We have no word on what the mother of the child they hadn't had yet had to say to him.
She broke the phone. Put it down!
And one other Reddit reader and participant said, in the middle of my chemo treatment, Psyduck decided to sit in the chair and hang out with me.
That's a character, too, I assume?
I think that's a good Pokemon. I'm not sure.
Oh, there's good and bad?
I think. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you capture the bad? I don't know. I'm just trying to lay out the rules of this thing.
I didn't actually understand how to play it. So, I downloaded it yesterday. and I'm walking down Michigan Avenue right outside our studio here, and one of the pokey monsters showed up, and I took my phone and I threw it in the ground and I smashed it.
And you killed him.
I was trying to kill the monster. Now, it's very expensive to do it that way because you have to keep getting new phones. It's Pokemon Go. The best way to end this trend is have if grandparents all over download it and start playing it.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
It'll be so not cool so fast, their heads will spin. It's 7:58. We're coming back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Hey, 12, Dean Richards, live from Channel 9. Good morning.
A funny theme song.
Really is.
Listen carefully to the words today. Made me laugh.
And have you memorized your new boss's name yet?
Our new boss here, his name is Paul Rennie.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you thought about sucking up to him in some way, maybe buying him something?
I've already sent one of those edible fruit baskets.
Good call by you. Very solid. Very solid.
Anybody coming into WGN, you know they love cantaloupe.
Is that right? Yeah. I did not know that was a regular thing.
It's been the key to my success here at the WGNs all these years. Cantaloupe, cantaloupe, cantaloupe.
That and sleeping your way to the top. Those are the two.
That's right. Steve, can I share a lovely email that I received?
I'd like to hear it. Go ahead.
Yesterday.
You know how we like when you read to us.
From a listener who sent me a note saying how much she looks forward to every day our segment. I read here, I love it because you guys are both idiots.
You know what? That's exactly right. And I love that the listeners and the viewers get it.
Yep.
So, did you get the bugs out of your teeth from the 4th of July fireworks show?
I did. I had no idea it was going to take that long. Yeah. You know what? It's not easy getting one of those windshield wiper scraper things in your mouth.
Well, it's funny you say that because I have to go to the dentist today, and I'll see if I can get a price on a new one for you because I know you bought one online.
I need one of those.
Yeah. I think I cracked a tooth.
What'd you do? Where are you eating?
I don't know. I just woke up and my tooth hurt.
And it was just mysteriously cracked?
Yeah.
Maybe you were grinding your teeth. That happens sometimes when you get older. You grind your teeth more.
What happens when?
At all times of your life, really.
Steve, that wouldn't happen if you ate more cantaloupe.
I'm switching to all insure. I'm just going to do insure 3 times a day.
I was at the dentist just last week. I had nothing wrong. I just enjoy having just people like going put in? Their fingers in my mouth.
Well, if we can harken back to Andrea's comment for a second, which she's trying to pretend I didn't hear, I did look in the mirror this morning, and I was wondering how the old guy got in my bathroom.
You don't look old.
No, I really don't. Yeah, that's a good point.
And people say we're idiots.
Taylor Swift is richer than we'll ever be. Bill Cosby's firing attorneys. Dr. Phil's suing tabloids. Lil Wayne's back in the hospital. And a couple of women from Saturday Night Live talk about stuff.
It's funny. The clip with the Saturday Night Live ladies, Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon.
Leslie Jones, there are two women that I would not want to be caught in an elevator, you know, like a broken elevator,
yeah.
For an extended period of time. One's Leslie Jones, the other is Mary Sandberg, who produces this show. Both of those would be difficult elevator-stuck situations.
Why do you say that?
Oh, you don't know Sandberg. Ooh. She'll tear your head off.
I do not know this side of Mary Sandberg. Yeah. She's always been very nurturing, sweet.
No, I'm used to like running the show and
lovely.
You know, kind of you know, just having a laid back sort of atmosphere. She's a drill sergeant.
Don't say sweet, Dean. My mom said sweet, and I haven't heard from her in days. She did. She said Mary sounds so sweet. I said, shh, don't say that. Don't say that. Shh.
I am sweet and bubbly.
Is that what I was going to say? It's a compliment.
Did you hear that? I am sweet and bubbly. Damn it.
I just like to be efficient.
And so for yes, my favorite thing, Dean. My favorite thing. I love this so much. Is when we're in a meeting filled with people with ADD. You know, show business meetings. You've been in a million
ridiculous,
of them.
Ridiculous, yeah.
And the meeting itself could take 3 minutes. And instead, we're in minute 23. And Sandberg, you could see, like the cartoon, like, you know, her temperature's rising, her head's about to explode.
Steam, right.
Because as a person that doesn't have ADD, I just have to sit there and work through all of their ADD and tangential comments and things like that. And I just want to, like, do the agenda and get out of there.
Yeah, I don't have ADD either, so I'm right there with you, man.
No, you two are perfect.
Why is it that all the men have the ADD?
What are you talking about? You've got it.
Well, I do, but in a meeting, I'm more like Mary. Like, just say it.
Oh, you're just as bad as the rest of us.
What'd they say? What'd they say? No, that's not anything. She's not got the right take on that at all.
We actually have a pack of vicious dogs standing outside to try to get attention. I can make them bark whenever they stop paying attention to me.
In case my new boss is listening, I'm just part of the show for like 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd like to let Paul Rennie know. I don't know, Paul. I'd like to let Paul Rennie know that this entire show is available for, say, a primetime television opportunity.
Right. We're going to have the person.
Hold on, Dave's sneezing. You. Are you okay, Dave?
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Bless you.
Go Cats.
I didn't know that was on here.
Is Larry Wirt listening?
Not anymore.
Why would he start today?
Turned it off.
Taylor Swift, Bill Cosby. Oh, I already did that.
You said all that.
Okay.
And Leslie Jones, who you'd like to be in an elevator with.
You know, at my age. It's 8:17. We'll do traffic.
She came on to me a little bit.
I'm sorry?
She kind of came on to me a little bit.
Leslie Jones?
Yeah.
Could have made some money there. Oh, that's your old past.
You can travel Chicago.
Oh, oh, oh.
You'll be calling his name.
Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. We continue with Dean Richards. So Dave Ennett, this is how ADD Dave Ennett is, Dean. We're in the middle of that commercial break, and Dave says, sorry, I sneezed and ruined that otherwise perfect segment. 5 minutes earlier, it would have been so timely. Yet it was still very funny to me. Taylor Swift is richer than any of us by a lot.
She's richer than any other celebrity, according to Forbes magazine.
She's richer than some countries.
That's actually very true. The Forbes magazine Celebrity 100 is out, where they assess earnings of the different celebrities through the year, including what they make on their projects and endorsements and all that, and the Shake It Up star took in last year $170 million.
Just unbelievable.
$170 million. And she's got Tom Hiddleston, too, on top of it.
Yeah. I wonder who pays when they go out to dinner.
Let's see. You had the coleslaw. I had the coffee.
Well, let's take a look. $62.75 you made how much last year? Yeah. You're paying.
You're paying for that.
Yeah.
One Direction came in number two on this list, the boy band.
If you made $170 million last year, would you ever go out to eat, or would you have a cook make it and then open your mouth and spoon feed it to you?
I would want the cook to make the food, chew it up in their mouth.
And then bird feed
like
you?
Like bird feed me. Exactly. I cannot be bothered with chewing myself.
All right, who was second?
The boy band One Direction.
Yeah.
$110 million.
Well, that's good. They could maybe get a haircut.
The rest of the list puzzles me. Author James Patterson is number three, earning $95 million.
Well, here's the thing about James Patterson. He puts out a book every 6 minutes. There's new books all the time. There's a whole ghostwriting thing that goes on in publishing where they take the author's name and they slap it on the book, but it's written by Bob down the street, or somebody else. By the way, Bob down the street, terrific author.
Very, very busy. But isn't that odd that author James Patterson would beat, say, Dwayne The Rock Johnson,
sure,
Kevin Hart, who are much further down the list, other actors that you would think would be much higher on the list, but an author comes in at number three. A soccer star, Cristiano Ronaldo, is tied with Dr. Phil.
How much did Dr. Phil make?
$88 million.
Are you kidding me?
$88 million just to yell at people. I do that on my show every Sunday.
He's got to have other things going on. There's no way he's making $88 million off that show.
I don't think so. But
no, absolutely
not.
What
else does Dr. Phil have going on?
Well, is he licensed products or something?
I don't know.
He's doing therapy, but to get an appointment, it's actually not so hard. The problem is, the billing is $10 million an hour. And then it's still at the end. He goes, well, looks like we're out of time.
Is that Dave coughing in the background again?
Yes, as far as you know, it is.
Is he all right? Kim Kardashian placed, I'm not sure what number she placed, but she made $45 million last year, which is ridiculous just from her mobile app. But
well, don't sell out the fact that she did a sex tape that her mom marketed.
Oh, I didn't tell you that I ran into her mom over last weekend.
Oh, in L.A.?
I was the hotel that I was staying at.
Did you air kiss her?
I'm getting off an elevator, and the doors open, and who is standing right there? Kris Jenner, waiting to get on the elevator as I got off. Kris Jenner and like an entourage of 20 icky-looking entourage.
Hangers-on?
Looking people. And they all get on the elevator as I stepped off wondering, too bad I didn't have gas.
She's a lovely woman, isn't she?
Yeah, I guess so. I had the tiny pink that much encounter with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, well, that's great.
But I did, we almost literally ran into each other in the elevator.
I just noticed that Larry Potash finished fourth on the list of rich celebrities.
There's huge money to be had on this WGN Morning News.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kim Kardashian said on making the list in the $45 million, not bad for a girl with no talent. First time I've ever agreed with her.
Oh, I agree with her 1,000%. Yeah, yeah. Bill Cosby fired his last attorney, his latest attorney. He's got to be running out of attorneys, isn't he?
His most recent attorney did get fired because he is currently going through this encounter with a woman who was at his home in 2004, claims that Cosby drugged and raped her. Cosby says that it was consensual, but they lost a key appeal recently in this case. So Cosby's second to last attorney gone, and they brought somebody else on to take it over and hoping that they will have better luck next round.
I will tell you this. The best way to avoid the troubles Cosby has is not to drug women and have sex with them against their will.
Allegedly.
If there's a lesson to be learned from this, kids.
You young kids listening, allegedly, that is exactly correct.
You mentioned Dr. Phil. If he's got all that money, why is he suing the Inquirer?
He's suing the Inquirer because he said he's sick and tired of them. His attorneys are claiming that there have been 80 false stories that they've printed about Dr. Phil and his wife, Robin Dr. Phil, saying that they're on the verge.
That's her name, Robin Dr. Phil?
Robin Dr. Phil is her legal name.
That'll be her name if they get divorced, Robin Dr. Phil.
Saying that they're on the verge of divorce. Dr. Phil's lawyer says not even remotely true, and they're sick and tired of it. They could just ignore it, but they want to put an end to what they say are fake and malicious stories, and nothing puts that to an end faster than a $250 million defamation lawsuit.
Yeah, I don't think you can actually have the basis of the lawsuit be, I'm tired of your nonsense. So I don't know how far that goes.
Well, I think the basis is what they're printing. They're saying what they're printing is not true.
I've never seen anything Inquirer that
it's
wasn't
a
true.
Big fat lie.
What about John Wayne's son, Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne is Lil Duke, as we like to call
him.
Has had a third hospitalization with a seizure. This actually happened last week in Las Vegas, but it's just become public knowledge that he was hospitalized in Vegas, had to cancel shows. Lil Wayne has said that just a false alarm, not a big deal, except this is the third time now that this has happened in the last where he's had to been hospitalized for seizures. He did disclose in an interview recently that he is epileptic, but hospitalization seems to indicate that things are a little more serious than they thought.
Well, we wish him luck. Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon, two stars from Saturday Night Live, now part of the new Ghostbusters movie. You talk to them?
Yeah, I talked to them over the weekend. It's a big deal to become part of this franchise, and we talked to them not only about taking on this heavy responsibility, but there's been so much misogynistic social rant on the internet about this. People, there's really kind of an anti-female buzz about the whole thing. And both Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon talked to me about that.
Yeah, it was pretty scary all leading up to it because Leslie and I worked together at Saturday Night Live, and she would come into my office and close the door and just be like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do
it? We're going to fail.
This is going to be awful.
Why would they do this? Why would they put this in this movie?
They made
why
a
would mistake. They do this?
What is this?
Oh, my gosh. And then we go out and be like, you got this. Ah, it's nothing.
So how much did you want to kick somebody's
when all this anti-woman stuff and...
Yeah, I'm pretty violent.
I don't know you, but I mean, from what I don't see you sitting quietly demure when all this crazy talk is going on, Leslie.
I think I might have tweeted out my address a couple of times, like, come to my office, to my face. What?
Right. Right.
Was it? I'm a sensitive little flower, and I got that on the internet, so I didn't.
I don't know why you would say you're afraid of Leslie Jones at all.
No, no. Actually, I missed the beginning of that, and I thought that was Sandberg at the last meeting that was running too long. All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Have a delightful day.
You too. Big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
So, local outlet for the Pokemon Go hysteria in just a second. Sandberg's here. Do you think Sandberg, part of her, well, I don't want to say moodiness, but part of her strictness with us on the show, do you think it's because of liquor?
No. I don't think she is.
I actually think it may be. Like, don't you have a story?
No.
I do. You know, my future stepson, Patrick, you guys all met him.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart. He was the first one to update.
Seems like a really good kid.
He is a really good kid.
Yeah.
And he,
and I like his dad, too.
Yeah, I like his dad as well.
Yeah.
He was the first to update me when I got home yesterday about that the stains had been lifted out of the couch. He met me at the door with the a formal report. But he was at the grocery store with Pat last night. And they were in the produce section, and he asked Pat, do you think we need to get Mary any Belvini, which is the scotch I drink?
Oh, the Belvini.
Belvini. Yeah, scotch. Oh,
or the Belvini.
Yeah. I changed my whole opinion now.
He knew that I might be running low, so.
This reminds me of Ann Johnsos, who did your job when the show first came back. Remember what Ann Johnsos used to call wine?
Mommy juice.
Mommy juice. Stepmommy scotch.
There you go. Just calls it like
you're
it
drinking
is.
Scotch?
Yeah.
Do you see Miss Kitty at the saloon when you're hitting those shots?
I like a nice, you know, Pat Brady just told me he had a little scotch last night, too. So it's everyone on this show is doing scotch.
By the way, I called Sandberg last night to discuss the show, and your future stepdaughter is?
Catherine.
And Catherine, you know when you, like on your TV, it'll announce who's calling?
Yes,
you get the
yes.
call waiting on your TV.
Uh-huh.
And what did Catherine do?
She screams. She's in the living room watching TV, and I was going out the front door, and she's like, hey, Steve Cochran is calling. Because nobody gets off the couch, but they will scream and let you know that somebody's calling.
See, I take it completely different. I just thought, I'm annoying all the women in your house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's 8:45, and joining us in just a second, Carmelo Chimera, co-owner and president of Chimera's Comics on the South Side. Were you ever into comics?
You know, I liked comics, but I didn't collect them.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy them. Yeah, good comic.
I'm trying to get them. Did you guys look at the text? People chiming in on their favorite toys from last hour we were talking about this? Because I'm trying to develop a new app called Etch-A-Sketch Go.
Do you remember, though?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots Go.
Okay, so after that phenomenon, then there were the video games. Remember Pitfall?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was post Pong. Remember Pong?
Pong, of course. Okay. I rocked Pong.
You totally rocked Pong. But Pitfall and then Donkey Kong, all the Pac-Man, all the video
you
games.
You go to the arcade to play Pong in the late 70s.
Yeah.
You put a quarter up next and you were ready to be the next guy for Pong if you're playing two-man Pong.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But you could play it alone. You could handle both paddles. That was if you had no friends. 8:46, Carmelo in a moment. Carmelo Chimera joins us now. Good morning, Carmelo. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing very well, thank you.
Thanks for being on. Chimera, is that right?
Chimera.
Sorry about that. Chimera's Comics, chain of comic book and collectible stores in the southwest suburbs. Before we talk about Pokemon Go, when the Big Bang Theory blew up, was that good for business?
Yeah, I think it sort of took a lot of fringe fan things and made them more mainstream. But, man, I can't tell you how many people will literally just poke their head in, ask if Sheldon is at the shop, and then just turn right around and walk out again.
Because
that's the most frustrating thing in the world.
Because that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, because they're the only people to think of it, too.
Exactly. And what is the number one selling thing other than any interest or questions involving Pokemon Go?
Probably the best consistent seller is Batman Comics. Okay. I think he's the most popular superhero far and away.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's one of my favorites. You know, when I was a kid, I was always Batman. And my other cousins.
Of course.
My other cousins had to be Robin or one of the villains.
My brother made me be Robin.
You had to be Robin, yeah. All right, so here's the obvious question of the day. How has Pokemon Go affected your life?
Well, most people I know who are into comics are also into Pokemon, and we kind of grew up on it. So I think there's a lot of our target customers are playing this game and going crazy over it. And so we wanted to find a way to use that to bring people into the store. It happened by accident. One of our stores had one of these lures in the game. There's like fishing lures that set off and they bring Pokemon to a certain spot. So instead of hunting them down, you can just wait in one spot and they'll come to you. And this happened accidentally at our Woodridge store on 75th and Lamont. And so I said, let's do it on purpose. So this Saturday, we're going to do it on purpose on all the stores.
So there'll be an opportunity for people to get what amounts to a key.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a chance for them to go to a place where Pokemon are going to flock to instead of hunting them down. The Pokemon are, it's going to be more like a lightning rod, really, and the Pokemon are going to coalesce around the stores. So if you're playing this game, you can kind of get a lot of bang for your buck just by stopping in one of our stores. You might be able to catch quite a few Pokemon in a very short amount of time.
Okay, Camarillo, for those of us who don't play but are about to, maybe. Give us the 101. So are there bad Pokemon and good Pokemon, and you don't get any points for getting the bad, or do you?
So there are they're not bad or good depending on who you ask, but they're common or they're rare, right? So there's like kind of weak, I guess crappy Pokemon all over the place. You know, little like rat creatures or flying creatures. I'll spare you the Latin names, but then the rarer ones come out as your character achieves higher levels in the game. So the more you play the game, the higher levels you get and the better Pokemon you can get.
So the goal here, is there a win? I mean, how do you win the game?
That's a good question. I guess you win by catching them all, but there's also this competitive component where they have gyms spread out, and those gyms they're in the game, and just like the Pokemon, they're tied to a physical spot in the real world. A gym might be one of my stores, or it might be your church, or it might be the police station, and you go to the gym and you can battle your Pokemon against other people's Pokemon at that gym. And they've split all the players into three teams. You have to choose one of these three teams, and the more a team wins at a gym, they can conquer that gym and take it over. So for example, the church near my house right now, the blue team has won over there. But if enough people from, say, the red team go over and start kicking butt at that gym, that gym's going to turn red. And so that's really the competitive component in the game. There's really no way to win it, which is the brilliance of it, right? You'll be playing it forever and ever.
Doesn't this remind you a little bit? Remember Dungeons & Dragons years ago? It's kind of like this, only not augmented, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you could totally imagine this kind of a game applied to Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, you know, Dungeons & Dragons involves a lot of walking, like Lord of the Rings. If you actually had to walk to play Dungeons & Dragons, you know, that and dragons could pop out, that would be really sweet.
Well, this is the type of thing, though, that is, and I'm not bright-siding this. You're getting fat kids out of the house in the summer to go do something active. That's great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's caused an interactivity with video games that you've just never had before, and now people have a reason to go explore, not just go outside, but go to new places. If you just go around your neighborhood, you're only going to catch the same Pokemon. You got to go to new places. You got to go to monuments. You got to go to museums and zoos and parks. And I think that's awesome.
How long before adults make it not cool?
Man, there's never, you should never underestimate the ability of an adult to take something awesome and make it lame. But I don't know about this one. I think Pokemon's got enough lore, and I think there's enough Pokemon fans who grew up on this stuff where I think it's going to be cool for a while.
I just wish if they were going to come up with something that seemed like it was sort of over and bring it back in a big way, they would have done it with Beanie Babies, because I've got an incredible selection of Beanie Babies that I would love to move.
You know, we joke that there's these, they call these vinyl pop figures. We joke those are the Beanie Babies of our days because they're making every character conceivable.
There you go. Hey, give people the website for your business.
They can visit us at www.chimerascomics.com. That's chimerascomics.com.
And tell people about the event this weekend again.
July 16th, all day Saturday at our locations in LaGrange, Oaklawn, and Woodridge. We're going to have Pokemon swarming the stores. So come catch some Pokemon. We're going to have some sales, and our first 25 customers are going to get Pokeballs with coupons inside.
And as I said the other day, if you get the Pokeballs, get to a clinic and get treated. all right, man, thanks for being on. I appreciate it. We'll take a break, come back. 9 o'clock news straight ahead. Still a big hour of show. The show to go, fourth hour of the show.
Yes.
People think we phone it in the fourth hour. It's not true. We fax it in.
We do that the second hour.
720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
9:10 in the morning, standing by for Matthew Modine. Matthew Modine is a former good friend of the show. He used to come on the show with some regularity. I haven't talked to him in quite some time. He's got a new movie to plug. You a Matthew Modine fan?
Loved him in the, well, Vision Quest. Remember, he wasn't part of the Brat Pack, but he was kind of that
similar era,
hot 80s
sure.
actor.
Yeah, a fabulous guy.
He became a fabulous actor and director, too.
And he's scheduled again to join us here in just a second and talk about a brand new movie called Stranger Things. Let me tell you about Stranger Things for a second. Stranger Things is a love letter to the 80s classics that captivated a generation, and no, I'm not reading this. Stranger Things is set in 1983 Indiana, where a young boy vanishes into thin air. His friends and family and local police search for answers are drawn into an extraordinary mystery involving top-secret government experiments, terrifying supernatural forces, and a very strange little girl. My friend Matthew Modine, it's been too long. I didn't even know we were fighting, and then I opened up the Inquirer and I turned on TMZ. It turns out Matthew Modine and I are having a huge feud.
Yeah, and you didn't even know.
No, you know how long it took me to get that feud publicized? I love Matthew Modine. Hey, man, how are you?
Steve, what are we fighting about?
I don't know. I couldn't come up with that part. I felt like I had the whole story.
Don't tell anybody I'm playing the mysterious little girl in Stranger Things.
You know, this again is testament to your versatility as an actor. Hey, before we get to the movie, I've missed you. You were always so great on the show. And I remember the last time we did a live thing together. Matthew was supposed to do a bunch of other stations and stuff. He blew off everybody, just hung out for a couple of hours, and then we spent the weekend in Wisconsin.
We had a good time. What did we do in Wisconsin?
I don't know. I'm making all of this part up, so I'll get back to you and finish the script.
I was going to say, I don't remember the Wisconsin part, but it must have been good if I don't remember.
Stranger Things. Tell us about the movie.
Well, you know, this is the problem. Is you did a good job right now describing it, but you know, my father was a drive-in theater manager. We talked about that, and I remember a trailer for Psycho, and in the trailer, most of the trailer, Alfred Hitchcock was imploring and begging the audience that if they've seen the film, not to share anything about the film, not to talk about who Norman Bates was and what his character was and what the big surprise ending of the film was. And we live in this age today of, you know, social media where people take pictures of their breakfast and post it online. And, you know, that's going to be the big challenge with Stranger Things is keeping people from sharing any spoilers about the show. And so my character, anything that I say about him, I've tried, reveals too much about him. And I think it's just best just to say, watch the first 8 episodes and you make up your mind whether he's a good person or a bad person or evil or working for the government or not working for the government. What is this guy's relationship to the young girl who we call 11.
Well, and here's the thing. You can't have a movie secret that people keep for very long because it shows up online. How do you do it with a TV series? How do you do it with anything in show business anymore?
Well, this is the interesting thing about using that word TV, because Netflix has destroyed television.
That's true.
We will watch this show on a TV, but it's not television. I wish that Stanley Kubrick were alive today, because he always wanted to make this series, or not a series, make a film about Napoleon. And Netflix would have been the perfect format for him to have made the epic story about this man's life and his conquests and his downfall and his relationship to Josephine. All that stuff that he wanted to try to put into a movie was almost impossible to do, because even making a two-part movie and making it 6 hours wouldn't have been enough. But Netflix would have been the perfect venue for him to have done a 20-part or 30-part, serialized film about that man's life. That there were on the front page of the New York Times Magazine last week, Netflix was on the cover of the magazine, and it said Netflix destroyed television. And because as soon as people don't have to watch network television and be disrupted by television commercials, there's no going back. You know, it's going to be very hard to get people to go back to watching television with commercials. And the only thing that's going to probably survive will be sporting events, basketball games and football games.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything, and I think that is where we're headed. However, we do have to figure out a way to save the advertising industry in the process and find a way. And, we've been talking about this for 20 years now. How do you monetize the internet in a way that's successful with advertising? And nobody's come up with one solid answer that really, truly works, though the kids at Facebook seem to be having some success.
Yeah, I mean, branding the athletes. I mean, putting Under Armour or Nike or Adidas on their clothes. I mean, that's one way. I know that there's programs that you can watch on television where if let's say you were watching Friends and you like the dress that Jennifer Aniston is watching, that you'd be able to click on the screen, and it would tell you where you could buy that dress and how much it costs, and you could order it online. I know that there's that kind of way of monetizing, but this is beyond my pay scale. So I you're right, though. They do have to find a way to pay for the programming.
Right. Did you catch the disturbing part of that whole explanation between the two of us, that he started out by claiming he was the girl in the film, and his reference is Jennifer Aniston's fashion tips? What's going on, Matthew?
Since that whole weekend that you guys spent together.
I'm living a private life that I can't share.
Matthew Modine, Stranger Things, Netflix. How are you guys in regards to, I mean, you've worked with everybody. You've had tons of success and you deserve it. But for the process of getting paid, when your agent calls you, says it's a Netflix deal, is that as lucrative as a regular deal from the old model?
No, but the whole thing has changed. In the 80s, you remember, because they would put it on in the newspapers and magazines and stuff, how much millions of dollars that actors were getting paid. Mel Gibson and Arnold Schwarzenegger getting $25 million.
Right.
Tom Cruise getting $25 million. I, by the way, never participated in any of those kind of extraordinary salaries, because I thought it was more interesting to work in independent kind of films that were more, maybe not as commercial, but they were certainly more interesting for me as an actor to work on. But I would have loved to have been in some of those movies where you got paid those crazy salaries. I'm not going to lie. But the paradigm has changed, and the Screen Actors Guild doesn't have the teeth that it did when I came into the union. This was a union that the Screen Actors Guild was a union that was made by the most powerful people in the industry at the time, Charlie Chaplin and Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford, that they knew that it was important for them as the most powerful to help those with the least voice in the industry. Let's say it was a cowboy stuntman that broke his arm or broke his leg riding a horse doing a stunt, and they'd be out of the business, and couldn't work for a couple of years. And they said, well, we have to help those people, protect those people. So they helped to create the Screen Actors Guild. And part of that idea of calling people communists came from the unions that were being built in America. The automobile industry in Detroit, when Henry Ford, when they tried to create the United Auto Workers, Henry Ford was furious and called these people communists and that they're going to destroy the country. And, you know, we have less unions now in the United States than I think that in the last, I don't know, 50 years or something. I don't know what the number is, but I know that they probably began with Ronald Reagan of the taking away the unions. So the Screen Actors Guild, my point is that it just doesn't have the teeth that it used to. And so everybody's salaries have been impacted by this changing world, the internet, cable, you know, video on demand. All of the salaries have come down.
I love the fact, though, Matthew, that you've always stayed true to the indie films. I mean, you're always at Sundance or Toronto, and you direct the short films. What do you like best? I mean, you've done the indie films, the short films, animated VO. What do you like best?
Well, my short films come out of frustration and you know, wanting to tell something or while I'm waiting for an opportunity to come. I don't want to just sit and wait for somebody to call up and say, hey, I've got this script for you. So I like to stay busy. So this last film that I made, Super Sex, premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival with Kevin Nealon, Elizabeth Perkins, Ed Asner, my daughter Ruby Modine, and Efren Ramirez, who was Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite. It was really, really a fun project to work on and have the opportunity of working with those terrific actors and my daughter playing a prostitute.
My, how times change.
Yeah. You know what the interesting thing about prostitutes in the industry, in the film, and I think it's worthy of somebody writing an article about, is more actresses have been nominated for playing prostitutes than any other type of role. That's a kind of fascinating statistic to me.
That is fascinating. I was not aware of that. And you know, many times I've been up for roles as a prostitute. They've said, honestly, who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
Listen, I know you got to run and talk to other people, but before you hang up, I'll put you on hold. Give Sandberg, our producer, some way for me to stay in touch with you, because we got to have you back on. I mean, you and I were special.
We are. We have a special relationship.
But I really can't be more excited for you. Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yeah, and there's a shark movie coming out called In the Deep. It's going on video on demand. It is a really scary shark movie with Claire Holt and Mandy Moore.
Yeah, I know. I just saw that as well. You have had a busy year, man, and a busy year of releases to come. Matthew Modine obviously owes gamblers some money. Be well. All the best. I'll talk to you soon.
I look forward to speaking to you again.
All right, see what? That's Matthew Modine. You got to love a guy who has chops like that, who can play these deadly serious roles.
And these dark characters, too.
Dark characters, who's a total smartass and mentions my daughter's playing a hooker, and he giggles.
That was funny, though. Times have changed, huh?
9:22, back after this on 720 WGN. And they all assembled at Royal Troon. You know, it's tough to play golf in a kilt. My friend Kurt Byram from Golf Channel NBC Sports joins us now. Before Kurt heads off to the Olympics, he's like, Dave, doing what the rest of us are doing. He'll be watching the Open Championship. And because of the Olympics, the Open Championship comes up early this year. Good morning, Kurt.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Couldn't be better. I'm sitting right here at Troon Golf Club waiting for this thing to get started.
So here's the deal. We've got a situation where Dustin Johnson has got to be all the bookies' favorites. But can a guy who bombs it the way he does play in those weather conditions that are likely to hit?
Well, a guy that bombs it is capable of playing in any kind of conditions. But obviously he's going to have to play, you know, he's going to have to manage his game smartly around this golf course. It was really a nice day, though, today. I walked the entire 18 holes today, and there really wasn't a whole lot of wind for here, you know, 10, 12 miles an hour, maybe a one-club wind probably. So it was pretty benign out there today. And right now the golf course is a little on the soft side. So really, you know, you can fly it where, you know, when it gets hard and fast, which it probably will later in the week. But if it gets hard and fast, it's, you know, then he's really going to have to start paying attention and bouncing the ball in and, you know, keeping it out of the gorse and all that good stuff.
Now, I'm looking at a forecast. It looks like a possibility of showers Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but that's a little redundant for that part of the world, isn't it? Isn't there always a possibility of showers?
Absolutely. I was out walking that 18 holes just earlier today, this morning, and, you know, there was a two-hour stretch while I was walking and talking to players and stuff, and it was, the sun got out, it was really nice, you know, with a sweater on. I was almost sweating a little bit. And then right towards the end, it got dark. It spit, you know, spit rain for 15, 20 minutes, and then it got nice again. So it just depends. You know, you never know for sure. Yesterday, they had quite a bit of rain here, and that's one reason why the golf course is a little on the soft side right now.
The course itself, as far, to the, far as the British Rota goes, where would you rank it? Is it one of the toughest? Is it top five? Where would you put it?
You know, it's hard to say, Steve. I mean, it depends on who you're talking to among the players. But it's definitely up there pretty high. I mean, all the players that I talked to today had good things to say about it. Most of them got here and played at least nine holes yesterday, and then I caught up with a lot of them after they had played, you know, 9 or 12, 15 holes today. So I heard a lot of good comments. The golf course is in great shape. I think, you know, I would say it ranks right up there. They're all unique. They're all a little different, so it's just all personal preference.
You know, the majors in general, but certainly the U.S. Open and the Open Championship are won by people who know how to win. And a few years ago, Adam Scott looked like he had it as a shoe-in. I think it was four up with four to play, and he gave it away. He's been a big winner since, and he's won a Masters. Would you consider him one of the favorites this weekend?
Yeah. I think Adam Scott's got a good chance. I think, you know, especially if the wind gets cranking, ball striking is going to matter, and he's one of the best ball strikers out there. But, you know, oddly enough, this golf course, you know, the last time they held it here in 2004, Todd Hamilton won here.
Yep.
And Todd Hamilton only won, I think, one other PGA Tour event, the Honda. So you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, here's the other thing that can happen, as you know. You know, you can, you know, the first 2 days you're going to have guys that are going to go late early, and then the next day, you know, vice versa. So you're going to have two waves of golf. If the conditions happen to be really bad, you know, let's say Thursday afternoon, and then they get the bad end of that wave, you know, you can eliminate a lot of guys in one particular wave. If they get unlucky and they get the 30-mile-an-hour wind with rain, and the other half of the field doesn't get that. So it's a little unpredictable.
I love seeing the old guys play well, and Ernie Els seems to be on a nice roll. He's a guy that knows how to win an Open. Is he going to be in a hunt this weekend?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, Ernie loves this championship, no question about that. He's won it before. It's always, you know, kind of his putter. Usually how his putter goes nowadays is how he's going to end up going. And at times, he's obviously really struggled with it. Other times, it's been okay, so. I think he could play good here. Yeah, I think he could play very well here. It's, you know, you're going to have to think your way around. And obviously at this stage in his career, he knows how to manage his game around the golf course.
All right, so give me three guys you like for the weekend.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to go against Dustin Johnson. I like Spieth personally. I think there's going to be a lot of the course management thing is going to be a big deal here, and no one really manages their game any better than Jordan Spieth. So I like Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and then I like Jason Day. I'd like Rory McIlroy too, but he hasn't seemed to play that well lately. But those other three guys, Day, Spieth, and Johnson, I think among the three of them, they got a great shot at winning this thing.
Yeah, and not like Tiger in the old days, because when he made a swing change, it was international news. But it seems like McIlroy's been tinkering a lot. Is he doing that?
I don't know. You know, guys just get off every once in a while. And
yeah, believe me, I do know that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal, no. I mean, his swing gets, you know, a little bit off. He's got, you know, a fairly long swing, really powerful, obviously, so once in a while, the timing gets off, or some little thing, the backswing, you know, gets a little too upright or gets a little too flat, whatever it is. And they tweak and they, you know, they just try to stay on top of it. But, yeah, he hasn't played great lately. You know, it's been a long time since he's won a major. Not a long time, a couple of years. So you just feel like, you know, he could be due again. I mean, he's certainly capable. When he's in the right frame of mind, he's certainly capable of winning any week.
It's the great Kurt Byram, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, doing a great job. Do you go straight from the UK to Rio, or are you going home first?
No, you know, I'm in a kind of a run here. I did the Scottish Open up at Castle Stewart last week. We just drove down from there yesterday. The Open this week, and then I go home for – I'm going to go back and repack to Arizona because this is three in a row for me this week. So go back, pack, and repack, and go to the Canadian Open the next week.
Oh, Canadian Open.
A week off. Yeah, I got a couple weeks in between. I don't go to Rio. I won't be there for the opening ceremonies. I get there like August 8th, right before the golf starts.
Well, it's going to be an interesting time. And as I said, you know what a big fan I am, but a fan and a friend, and a friend and a fan. It's Kurt Byram. Travel safe, buddy. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. I appreciate it.
Talk to you later. It's Kurt Byram. Does a great job.
He does.
Explains it. He can still hit it, too. Last time he was in town was for Dr. Most's event. Mm-hmm. And were you on the tee when he was smashing it with the other guys?
Yes.
I mean, Kurt's as old as I am.
He's that old?
Yeah.
Wow. 38 isn't old, guys.
Or maybe he's 53. I can't believe 53 is younger than I am. But yeah, and he looks good. But listen, I'm not jealous or bitter.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ice cream, vanilla ice cream, strawberry ice cream, chocolate ice cream. So many flavors. Ice cream.
Earlier this week. I don't remember where the list came up. Somebody sent me a list of the best ice cream places in every state in the union.
Every state, yep.
Number one in Illinois, the Plush Horse, a place you were well familiar with.
Oh, I grew up in the south suburbs. I went to the Plush Horse. That was a summer treat for us. I mean, we would probably go once a month. We'd beg to go every single day. But homemade ice cream, and I really mean this, the best mint chocolate chip ice cream you could ever imagine. And I don't know how they do it, but it's out of this world.
I believe I have a cracked tooth. About the worst thing you could do is put something cold on it. I'm about to eat ice cream.
He is.
If there's open weeping in the studio, you'll just know it's for a good reason. Introduce our guest.
Anita Nolan, the store manager at the Plush Horse, and Maddie Dola is the chef supervisor. So welcome to the studio. So I said we have to educate Steve and Dave and Mary and Mike and everybody and Susan.
In the ways of the horse.
In the ways of the horse. So give the background of the Plush Horse and its success.
Absolutely. We have been a staple in our community since 1937. We've been making homemade ice cream.
You look good for an old lady.
I've been told that a couple times. Thank you. ice cream is much better, I assure you. We have people that come from states over back home to the area to have the ice cream. It is a complete, it's just nostalgia, the good old-fashioned nostalgia. We can't even change the wallpaper. You come in, it looks the same as it did as yesteryear, and we want to keep it that way. We want to stay true not only to our recipes, but to the history.
Did you know you were voted number one in the country?
We actually had one of our employees posted on our private little page on Facebook over the weekend. So, of course, we had our own little, hoorahs on Sunday. But it's very exciting. We are very proud. We try to instill.
Well, you should be. And I assume after we started talking about it, you must have had some people come in and said, hey.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have people that just come in and talk about everything. Any story that they can share, whether it was something in the news or just personal, they want to share it. We're definitely a part of people's lives. And we're very excited to have that.
For people that haven't been, located where?
We are in Palos Park. We are actually the oldest commercial establishment still standing. Everything else has either burned down or been torn down. So we are, our building was dates back to the late 1900s, and we've just kind of added on a little bit here and there to keep up with the times. But
known for what flavor most?
Oh, mint chip, by far. Mint chip's number one. There's a couple others that, fall behind it.
Superman. But they have really cool flavors, the Superman mm-hmm. and the funky sherbets.
We try to mix it up a little bit. Cookie Monster is definitely in our top 10 as well. That's it's basically a cookies and cream ice cream, but we threw in some Chips Ahoy along with the Oreos and some cookie dough pieces. So you kind of get the best of all three worlds
there. Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what did you bring? You ordered for us?
Well, we definitely have some mint chocolate chip. What is it about the mint chip that makes it so awesome? I mean, we all love mint chip, but this is unbelievable.
Well, unfortunately, Andrea, I can't give away the recipes.
Otherwise, she'd have to kill you.
Sorry. We do have a burgundy chocolate in there, but it is. It's a phenomenon, the way that that one has really taken off. We stand behind everything that we put out at the Plush Horse on our flavors. And if it's not good, if it's not top-notch, we yank it, we'll pull it.
Love it. And you got to take a picture with the Plush Horse when you go, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you want to take a break, come back, and eat some ice cream?
Let's do it.
Or we'll take a break, come back. Plush Horse, you got a website?
We do. It is theplushhorse.com. Don't forget the W's in front of that. But, yeah, take a visit.
Theplushhorse.com. All right, stand by. We're going to eat some ice cream here on the radio in a second, and you won't be. No more calls. We have a winner.
How about that?
The folks are here from my new favorite ice cream place ever, Plush Horse. And we probably should introduce the entire posse, right?
Yeah. Maybe you want to announce everyone, even though he was calling you babe when you left the room.
You know, you just kind of let it slide. You just kind of ignore that kind of thing.
Call the boss, babe.
I know who I really am, so we're fine. No, absolutely. We appreciate you guys having us on again. We have National Ice Cream Day, which is coming up this Sunday, the 17th. It's going to be all day at the parlor. National Ice Cream Month is July, and that was kind of designated by the president back in 1984. So just a quick FYI on that. That's probably why this came out at this time. It's a great month. We just, you know, we hoop and holler it up over the Plush Horse. Staff loves it.
And they get it. You have a superhero theme.
We have a superhero theme, which is kind of keeping in with what's going on in the day. But we've got Wonder Woman, Superman, Spider-Man. They're all going to be there starting at noon. We don't close until 10 o'clock. Come on out. We have a DJ in the evening after 6 o'clock. We have
an ice cream DJ. That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, how about that? We're going to do some hula hooping and whatnot.
That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Anita Nolan, the manager. Maddie Dola is your chef supervisor. Is that right?
She is. She's one of my A-team. Absolutely.
And then is it Phil or Bill the roadie?
Bill.
Bill the roadie.
Bill the roadie. Okay. Babe.
All right. You guys have a spoon?
We're working on the spoon.
We're just licking it?
We brought the cones for you guys, the special ones.
That's all right. Here you go. Oh, thank you. Oh, the queen spoons have arrived. This is, and I would say this if you were here, if you're not here, it's the best mint chip I've ever had.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. We appreciate
and
that.
And I consider myself a connoisseur.
Well, for sure. And you can put that in anything. We've got cups, cones, shakes. You can turn any flavor we have into a shake. Everybody does it. You can mix flavors. I think a lot of people don't really realize that they can get more than one flavor. We have 65 flavors every single day. Every
65
day of the year.
Flavors.
Yes, up to 65 flavors. A couple days, it might be a little bit more. But we have sorbets. We have a couple yogurts.
Do you have a mad scientist in the back whipping these up?
That would be my boss. Yeah, she's fantastic. Super creative. When we get bored, which is often, we'll do something new. Cookie Monster
again.
How
do you have time to get bored?
That's just the kind of people we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have to. I think it's a prerequisite to have this kind of a job.
So, here's the thing.
Okay.
I have to be careful how I'm eating the ice cream because of the tooth.
We can tell,
But so far, it's going really great for me.
It's going well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people that come in after their dentist appointments. You know, they're half numb. The easiest thing to eat is a shake.
Yeah.
And it's doctor approved. Yeah.
See?
It's recommended.
Do you laugh when they drool?
It's sometimes funny, but, you know, we're just happy they're there.
So what's in the mint chip now, exactly?
Mint and chip, and she won't tell you the rest.
I can't. I'm on lockdown. I'm mad. I'm so sorry. I was given specific instructions.
Homeland Security won't allow that.
That's right.
Well, it is tremendous, and I certainly see why you were voted number one, and congratulations on that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Regular hours are when?
We are actually open 7 days a week. We open at 8 a.m. We have a little coffee shop. Come on in with some home-baked goods, coffee, lattes, espressos. If we got it, we'll make it for you, even if it's not on the menu. And we don't close until 10 o'clock every day of the week. We have winter hours, which will fall into probably around October-ish. Otherwise, we are open year-round, which a lot of ice cream parlors are not.
I would come in on the coldest day in January to have this ice cream.
You should. It's a cozy atmosphere. We love it. It's
I'm not
it's
concerned
different...
with the atmosphere.
Well, we keep the ice cream cold year-round regardless of what's going on outside.
Yeah, it's tremendous. thank you for coming over.
Absolutely.
And congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
I want to say a quick hi to Ryan Brown. Ryan's one of the golf pros from Schaumburg Golf Club. yesterday. My cousin Kurt is in town to help us win the beautiful White Eagle Eagle Days member guest tournament later this week. Kurt and I and others played at the North Central Hospital golf outing at Medina yesterday and had a great time. But Ryan Brown, Schaumburg Golf Pro, good dude. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.